Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God knows what we need. So apparently we needed COVID and tragedy and rioting and bitterness and cancer and pain and sorrow. For God accomplishes his greatest good in times of trouble. At those times, apathy is gone, carelessness gone, coasting through life or through Christianity is also gone. When we cannot do anything about what has just happened, then we are forced to live by faith, to find answers in his word, and to wait in repentant hearts in patience. King David's greatest display of faith is not him going out and battling Goliath, but it is found in Absalom's rebellion. David prepared extensively, dividing up his army, but he entrusted himself to God and to God alone. He recognized the results were in God's hands and in his alone. For in his weakness, he was strong. Now, weakness is not laziness, slothfulness, negligence, or apathy. But weakness is recognizing the outcome rests in God's hands. So look around at this world. Think through your week or your life. This is the life you need right now. You cannot hide in the corner. You cannot coast through Christianity without so much as giving it a second thought. But you are forced to bear witness of Christ as you confront these troubles. But do not face them with anxiety. Christ said all these things would happen beforehand so that you would not think that something strange is happening to you. We fret because we forget what Christ has said. We worry about the direction of our life or a country because we forget what Christ has said. We live in the last days. The end of all things is at hand, and these last days are filled with wars and rumors of wars, with earthquakes and plagues and violence and disease. And among men, there is much anxiety and fear and apprehension and confusion as they try to control the outcomes and so throw billions of dollars at this cause and another billion at this other cause, trying to make sure it comes out the way that they want. And so it leads one nation to attack another militarily or economically or financially. It leads one party to say that if the other gets elected, it's the end of democracy, and the other says the exact same thing. It leads us to constantly pray for peace. It leads churches to be divided and splintered, broken and unmoored. The love of many has grown cold as church attendance shrinks across all denominations, and more consider themselves spiritual but not religious, whatever that means. Few hold to the teachings of God's word. Each one considers himself the sole judge and authority of Scripture, of what is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is evil. As we think back to those early days of the apostles, it wasn't Rome that was persecuting them, but it was the religious establishment of the Jews. St. Paul thought he was doing the will of God as he stood by as Stephen was being stoned, or as he marched up toward Damascus. After his conversion, again, it wasn't the Romans who caused the biggest problems, but it was the Jews that constantly attacked and harassed him. As we look throughout church history, we see that the religious authorities, those inside the church, have tried to further Christianity by the edge of a sword, have burned those whom they have decreed to be heretics, and have wrongly killed many others in the name of Christ. While today Christians still disagree on doctrine, Rarely does it become a physical altercation, at least where we live. We thank God for that. We still condemn their false teachings, and we also condemn them if they hold on to them. But we do not seek to destroy the body. That is not our place. But perhaps we have gone too far to the other side. We never say it out loud, but we can become apathetic to doctrine, that as long as they say they're Christians, then certainly they must be going to heaven. As if all doctrine were created equal, regardless if it came from Christ or from the devil. Should we not openly and clearly confess the truth? Or as we look at Christianity today as a whole, we seem to have left morality in the hands of the state. While we were told that we should be content to simply teach that we should forgive and love everyone, and love became this nebulous, vague thing that no one knew what it meant. So everyone had a different interpretation of what love is. Even in our little Lutheran corners, we refuse to speak or to comment on anything a politician has spoken about. Fine. Don't talk about politics in polite company. There's no place for it in the church either. But have we handed over the details of morality to politicians? Morality is not politics. Thinking that it is has perhaps led us to where we now are today. Activists try to portray churches as being hostile to civil peace and order. Protesters are staged outside of churches simply because of court documents. Shooters hit the most vulnerable, and we might as well continue to throw COVID in there as well, as we were told to stay away from gathering, away from the Lord's Supper, because you just might die, as if we were in control of all these outcomes. And yet you still came. I suppose you could say that the chances of anything tragic happening to this little congregation is slim to none, but I'd rather highlight your faith and not your rationale. Your faith has brought you here when so many others have stayed away and so many others again throughout denominations have simply fallen away. For the Holy Spirit has instilled in you the confession, to whom shall we go? Christ alone has the words of everlasting life. And so the simple act of getting up and getting ready and coming to church is an act of faith and also of courage. Of sitting in a pew, patiently listening, because these are the words of him who died and rose for you. As the world spirals, you find rest in his word. As you become weak physically, mentally, as Christians are no longer a political majority, or even the society doesn't care what Christians think or say anymore, we actually become more strong. For the Spirit leads you to confess that you cannot save yourself, you cannot control these outcomes, but the King alone, who has ascended on high, he will work all things out for your eternal good. He knows what you need. So emboldened by the Spirit, you have come. You sit. You listen. You rest. You eat and kneel before your King. Everything will be okay. That does not mean we'll bounce back as a nation. That does not mean tragedies will cease. That does not mean your illness will be cured. But it means that Jesus lives, so shall you. Jesus ascended on high, and so shall you. Jesus rules heaven and earth, and so do you. Hellish hordes may spew from the abyss, but do not be afraid. Still sit. Still rest, still listen, still wait with patience, still eat. Because the results are in God's hands, not yours. And if this divine service takes an hour, then God be praised. If it takes 2 hours, then God be praised. Let us not be in a rush to get back out to the world. But let us enjoy our time with Christ and with one another. These are the people you will spend eternity with. So learn about them. Ask questions of them. Find out what their hobbies are, what their joys and excitements are, and also what their sorrows are. Grow in love toward them. Support them in whatever way you are able. For their lives are much more difficult than you know. As resistance strengthens muscles, so resistance strengthens faith. In times of trouble, we are forced to make a conscious decision. Why are we Christians? Why do we come to this church when there's so many others that are perhaps closer by? We must think more precisely and speak more clearly. But take heart, for the Spirit will lead you in this. As he helped David live by faith during Absalom's rebellion, so he opens your eyes so that you live by faith in these last days. You see that the world is quickly passing away, and he turns your anxiety into courage. We will make it out. Our ascended Lord will come in the same way as he has gone up into heaven. The divine dove gets us through the day, the week, and our life. He encourages us, prods us, moves our feet as he holds us captive to the word of God and inculcates in us a desire to do what is good and right and godly. This Holy Spirit opens our lips to bear witness of Christ clearly and confidently and all the wonderful things he has done for us. We believe, therefore we must speak. We cannot help it. Morality is not decided by courts, legislators, presidents, or even by a vote of the majority, but solely by the word of God. Truth is not subjective, but the truth is Christ. The truth is firm and objective. So let us be bold and courageous whenever we speak, as if we are speaking the very oracles of God, St. Peter encourages us. As David prepared for battle against Absalom, and yet trusted the Lord, let us be as wise as serpents and yet as innocent as doves, not provoking unnecessarily, but clearly confessing Christ from a pure heart. Let us think and prepare and plan, and let us fine-tune our thinking and our words and our plans, even as we trust the Lord will do what is best. Remember, weakness does not mean negligence, inaction, laziness, or slothfulness. It works hard, but it leaves all the results in God's hands. And so the news should never surprise you. The fact that it does shows how little we believe Christ's word. He told us how wicked the sinful flesh is, not just one, but all sinful flesh that lives in each one of us. He told us how furious the devil is. He told us what these last days would be like. Believe him. No servant is greater than his master. Trouble comes in many different forms and from many different angles. So stand firm. Let nothing move you. Be strong and courageous in the Lord. For when you are weak, when you are helpless, at your wit's end, when you can't figure out a way, then you are actually strong. So work hard. Be faithful where God has placed you. Not longing for something different, but being content with the life that he knows you need. Make decisions with the best information that you have, but also recognize there are no wrong choices. Cling to his word, for no one does anything successfully apart from the word of God. Your risen Lord has given you the life that you need to lead your faith back into his word. As he sustained David and the saints of old through great trials and tribulations, so he will also sustain you. You have the same God, the same Lord, the same Savior. You have the same gospel and the same promises made more clear, for they have been revealed in Christ. So wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your hearts take courage and wait for the Lord. Alleluia, Christ is risen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.